You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Let's head to Brazil right now to be joined by Fernando Ramirez. He covers the Chargers for the Sporting Tribune as we get you ready for the Chiefs and Chargers week one down in Brazil. Fernando, man, happy to have you join us today.
Hey, appreciate you guys having me.
Absolutely. How long is the flight from L.A. to São Paulo?
Well, I'm actually not down there. I was not given the okay to go, but I heard it was the Chargers said it was a 13 to 14 hour flight. Direct, but I know some people went LA, Atlanta, Sao Paulo, and that was about 18 hours altogether.
Right now, we're taking a closer look at the Chargers, getting you ready for the Chiefs' Week 1 opponent against the Chargers coming up tomorrow on YouTube or YouTube TV. All right, Fernando, let's just start with this. These two teams obviously know each other very well. What's different about the Chargers now since the last time these two teams played one another?
I have to say the weapons around Justin Herbert. I know Ladd McConkey didn't play in that game that they last played against each other. They brought back Keenan Allen. They drafted Trey Harris and Keandre Lambert-Smith. Both of them had Trey kind of came on late during training camp and in the preseason, but Keandre was a consistent weapon for them throughout the whole training camp process. They're very excited about both of them. Omarion Hampton's a guy that they've kind of been keeping close to the chest. If we're talking about a poker game, they haven't really used him at all during preseason games. They've given him like two touches, maybe three. They haven't really tried to show him off as maybe a secret kind of player that nobody really knows. Najee Harris was added also, and Najee's off the injury report. He should be playing. They also have a fifth round pick out of Syracuse tight end Aronde Gadsden, who he became a red zone target for Herbert during training camp. So they're very excited about all the weapons that they have at the arm of Justin Herbert.
How excited are you guys to have Keenan Allen coming back?
You know, what's funny. I just released today. I spoke to Keenan for about 15 minutes on Tuesday, and I just asked him about everything. I said, "How did you feel going last year?" He's like, I wasn't happy in Chicago, not because of the team or us going 5-12. I didn't have my family there. I decided to not move my wife and my family to Chicago with me. So I felt out of place, and I really wanted to be a Charger. I wanted to continue being a Charger, but he didn't want to take a pay cut, and with the tight salary cap, they had to cut bait with some guys, and they decided to cut him. But now that he's back, guys are really excited. The receiving core is very excited about having a veteran like that, because Ladd's the only – I mean, Quentin Johnson's the most veteran guy in that locker room, and they needed another – well, Darius Davis as well, but they needed a veteran presence. And it seems like the kids have already started picking at his brain and seeing what he's seeing. So they're very excited about having Keenan back. And of course, Justin's going to be the most excited one, because they really have a, a good relationship on the field.
Right now, we're talking to Fernando Ramirez, learning a little bit more about the Chargers. We'll kind of start to deep dive into the game here coming up in just a bit. We've been doing a lot of conversations about Justin Herbert over the offseason, about where he ranks, how do you place him. My frustration with Herbert is the numbers are there. There's no question. But at this stage in your career, usually if you have that level of talent, you've just done a little bit more. You've won MVP. You've been in MVP conversations. Your team has won the division. You've had a couple of playoff wins at this point. It's kind of, to me, disappointing the talent that I think Justin Herbert has versus what he's accomplished so far in his career.
Well, I mean, if we're being completely honest, and I'm not trying to defend anything, but he's had five coordinators in 6 years with the Chargers. This is the, besides Lombardi going from his first year to his second year, this is the only other time he's had a coordinator stay. Head coaching has kind of been a disaster. They had Anthony Lynn for 1 year. They have Brandon Staley. Brandon Staley was a defensive-minded coach, but their defense ranked bottom in the NFL, and weapons have kind of been in and out. The offensive line has kind of been in flux. And I know it sounds like excuses and stuff, but I really think it's rare for a quarterback of his caliber to have such a revolving door when it comes to all these pieces. I mean, you look at Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's had Zach Taylor his whole career. He's had Mahomes has had Andy Reid the whole time. Even Josh Allen's had Sean McDermott the whole time too. So Lamar Jackson's had John Harbaugh. So every other quarterback has kind of had a stability there. And with the Chargers, unfortunately, they've made decisions where they've tried to go. They've tried to get guys that are obviously hot commodities, but don't cost as much. And this time, they decided to go for a coach that wants that bag, and he deserves that bag, and they decided to finally bring in somebody who is a head coach. Brandon Staley was trying to coach the defense and mainly stayed on the defense. This guy's coming in here, and he's being like, okay, I want to know what's going on in special teams, offense, defense, everything. Give it all to me. Let me bring in my own strength and conditioning coach who brings another five or six coaches with him to really get the best out of these guys. So for the first time, I think last year and this year, Herbert has stability where you know that the players believe in the head coach's messaging, and there's not like whispers behind going, yeah, is this guy really who we think he is? Maybe he's just all show. And that's kind of where I come with it, is that Justin hasn't had that stability until last season and now this season. But I do agree that he does need to step up and make more plays. But at the same time, I mean, it's kind of he's kind of had the short end of the stick when it comes to the rest of the quarterbacks in his – same thing that Phillip kind of went through in his tenure, where Phillip, Ben Roethlisberger and Eli won Super Bowls, and Phillip kind of was like, okay, like, why are we not getting teams together to kind of put this thing together? So for the Chargers' sake, hopefully Justin isn't that guy that misses out on the Super Bowl, but yeah, he finally has a coach that brings stability.
You guys had one of the more significant offseason injuries with Rashawn Slater. What does that mean for the offensive line? How are you guys managing losing one of the best left tackles in the game?
Well, obviously, not a lot of teams can replace an all-pro with a potential all-pro, and that's what the Chargers have done. The Chargers have they moved Joe Ault, who was the fifth overall pick last year in the draft out of Notre Dame. They moved him from right tackle to left tackle. I spoke to his coach from Notre Dame last week, and I have an article coming out tomorrow. But he said, hey, like, Joe is going to succeed. No matter where you put Joe, he is a guy that's going to succeed. No matter where you put him, he's going to work. He's going to bust his you-know-what to be the best at that position. And I really believe it when it comes to Joe Ault there at left tackle. Now, the only problem is on the right, you have question marks when it comes to Trey Pipkins, who he has been hit and miss. He's had some good years. He's had some bad years. Last year was a bad year because they moved him inside, and he just couldn't handle it. The other question mark, there's question marks all over except for Joe Ault. You have Mekhi Becton, who last year he stayed healthy for Philly, but can he stay healthy this year for the Chargers? Then you have Bradley Bozeman at center and Zion Johnson at left guard, and those two have been they did not have very good seasons last year, but Jim said he's riding with them. They believe that those two guys can step up their game, but last year was just not a good look. If you go look at the Baltimore game, you go look at the Tampa Bay game, and you go look at the Houston game, those two guys struggled mightily in both of those games.
These two teams obviously match up very well against each other. These are usually close and competitive games. Do you think the Chargers are ready to take that next step? We talked about Herbert being in that position to take the next step. The Chargers are usually a competitive team. They're a team that wins somewhere between 9 to 11 games. But I think what you see, and this is the case for Kansas City against a lot of teams, they're just much better in the final 4 to 5 minutes of the game, and that makes a difference. Do you think the Chargers are ready to take that next step where they can be in the Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore conversation?
I thought towards the back end of the season last year, they were developing that kind of killer instinct with some of the games that they played. The thing is that, like you said, Kansas City might, like, last year they were a little Tebow-esque, where the first three quarters they were, hanging around, letting the other team hang around, and then in the fourth quarter, and again, I was just saying Tebow-esque because Tebow had terrible games in the first three quarters. Then in the fourth quarter, they turned it on and they ended up winning the game. So that's what the Chargers are going to have to navigate, is you have to go for the throat. You can't just let the team hang in there and make their plays. So until Kansas City is beaten, I can't say that I think that they're ready. They have the weapons. They have the defense. They have the defensive line. But it's, can they put it together and not fall under the pressure of, oh my God, it's only a 10-point game, but we know that those guys in the next 6 minutes could come back and beat us. It's about going and scoring touchdowns and making plays and making sure that they kind of try and play keep away. And that's what I think they're going to do tomorrow. I think they're going to try and play keep away. Najee Harris, Amarian Hampton, run the football, try and tire out that defense for the fourth quarter to kind of take advantage. And that's what the Chargers started doing in the back end of the season. They started tiring out defenses. And in the fourth quarter, they would take advantage. But with Kansas City, that didn't happen out in KC in that final game. So Kansas City's still the team to beat, in my opinion. And the Chargers are going to really – I think this is a big game. I know it's only week one, but I think this is a big game for them to show, hey, we're not the same old team. We're here to prove that we're willing to fight for the AFC West. And the first step is to beat Kansas City in week one.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we talked about on the show to actually kick off this week is, you know, a lot of people have kind of predicted the downfall of the Kansas City Chiefs. If you think the Chiefs can lose the division, then you have to be picking the Chargers. The Chiefs always win this kind of game. You very rarely see the Chiefs lose this kind of game in the division. It will be interesting to see if the Chargers can pull off the upset, and I use that in quotes. We always ask people this. We'll get you out of here with this. Give me your Chiefs win-if scenario. Give me your Chargers win-if scenario.
Chiefs win if they do what they've been doing for the past few years, which is control the tempo of the game, move the ball up and down, extend drives, kind of gas the Chargers defense and just pick their spots. I think that was the maturity that I saw. And again, I watched from afar, so I'm not an expert on Kansas City, but what I've watched is the maturity of Patrick Mahomes, where at the beginning, when he first got there, it was all home run shots. He loved those home run hits. And I think Andy, after Tyreek Hill left, said, hey, I want to turn you into a different style. I want to make you be able to be precise, be a killer, slowly. Like, do the thousand cuts. Don't just cut them with one. Make sure they suffer a little bit. And I feel like that's what really has made Mahomes great these last 3 or 4 years since Tyreek Hill left, which I've been very impressed with. Chargers win if they're able to run the football. If they're able to successfully run the football in Kansas City, I feel like they can control the clock. That means that, again, and last year, that was one of the things. Last year with J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, there was inconsistencies in the run game. They believe that this year they've upgraded the running back position 2 or 3 steps to where they can gas a team in the fourth quarter, and these guys are going to take off for long runs. Well, Amari and Hampton. They feel like Najee is going to tire out a defense because having to hit that bar. And I'm telling you guys, I did not know Najee was this big until I saw him in minicamp. He's huge. He really is thick. Like he's just a big dude. And I wouldn't want to be hitting him in the fourth quarter. So that's kind of my those are my 2 cents on both of those teams. I'm really excited to see what both of these teams have kind of got. I know Kansas City is going to be on a huge like. Middle fingers up in the air, like, you guys think we're done, we're not done. This might be Kelsey's last dance. Let's get him a ring before he commits the ring when he gets married. But I'm very interested to see how this game plays out.
That is Fernando Ramirez joining us on the show. He covers the Chargers for the Sporting Tribune. Fernando, great stuff, man. We look forward to catching up with you when these two teams have a rematch here later in the season.
All right, appreciate you guys. Have a good rest of your week. And, hey, football's back, so that should be exciting for everybody. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Absolutely. That is Fernando Ramirez joining us on the show. It is certainly a Merry Christmas. We are going to be joined by Josh Vernier coming up in about 15 minutes. Some breaking news with the Royals. Carter Jensen is going to be in the lineup today for the Royals, and Seth Lugo has been moved to the disabled list. We'll talk about it next. Keep it right here. So Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, a show that prides itself on getting it right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Let me give you guys the lineup for today's Royals game. Mike Yastrzemski, Bobby Wood Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, Mikel Garcia, Salvador Perez, Adam Frazier, Michael Massey. Carter Jensen is the designated hitter today. He is hitting eighth, and Kyle Isbell. That is the lineup for your Kansas City Royals. Funny enough, a couple of days ago when I was at the Royals game, I was actually sitting in front of, I don't know if that was Carter Jensen's family, but they were people who clearly knew who he was. They were in a little suite. They were going crazy, as you should. You know, you grow up as a local kid. You grow up going to Park Hill, hoping that one day you can play in this stadium as a professional player and you get a chance to do it and you come up in the ninth inning. I would be excited for my friend, family, whoever I knew in this situation too. So really excited that Carter Jensen gets a chance to start today for the Royals. He is a designated hitter, and we'll see how he performs today. The big news is this just actually happened while we were doing the interview in Brazil. Seth Lugo has been placed on the 15-day injured list with a lower back strain. We'll get back to football here coming up in a bit. Sean Barber is going to join us in studio. We're going to go through our NFL predictions as today is the first day of the NFL season. Him going on the injured list right now is the only thing that makes sense. Something is clearly off with Seth Lugo. And I think the Royals at every turn have tried to tell you, no, he's fine. Well, I kind of know what Seth Lugo's looked like. He's kind of been around for a while. It doesn't look like he's fine. You guys are telling me otherwise, but the results, the product, is saying another thing. This is the only thing to me that makes sense. Something has been off with Lugo for quite some time. It has almost happened. It almost lined up perfectly with him signing that contract extension. He signed the extension, and then all things just started to go wrong with his body, and he just hasn't been the same pitcher. And if you're trying to overcome the deficit that we're talking about with the Kansas City Royals, man, you need all hands on deck, and I just don't think that you had Lugo to continue the euphemism. I think this was the only decision that the Royals had. You couldn't let him continue to start because it was obvious that something was off. Now we have the answer. He is off with a lower back strain.
The question now becomes, how long has he been battling this and they've been telling us he's fine? Because outside that start against the Rangers, I forget the exact date and time. If I had a schedule in front of me, I would tell you. Basically, since signing the contract, he didn't look right. He didn't look like himself. I'm not saying Seth Lugo is going to be a top five Cy Young candidate for his entire career, but he looked like something was off. And at every post game, Matt Quatrero was asked about it. Nope, he's fine. He's fine. He's fine. He's fine. Now he's on the IL. Has he been battling this now for 3 weeks? And if that's the case, why didn't you IL him 3 weeks ago? Yeah, maybe you're out of it right now if you IL him 3 weeks ago, but IL-ing him now essentially ends his season, and without him, you got to really, really, really squint and have some blue-colored glass on to think this is a playoff team. I know Stephen Kolek, who came up in his place, the other player they got in the Padre trade, who looked good over the weekend, has come up, but without Seth Lugo, without Cole Reagans, this is not a playoff team, and you got to wonder, if he's been battling this for a while, why didn't they IL him 3 weeks ago and see if they could survive in advance to get to this point when he's back and healthy? Because IL-ing him now kind of ends the season.
Yeah, no, it basically ends the season. It just kind of continues to show you how much of an uphill battle the Royals have if they actually want to try to go off with this thing. And that's why you and I led the show with it, and we'll be joined by Vern here coming up in just a bit. That's what makes the last couple of days just so disappointing for the Kansas City Royals. The door was open, usually in a comeback. That's why I hate the question, did Team A lose or did Team B win? Well, both things need to happen in order for you to overcome a great deficit. You obviously need to start playing better. You obviously need them to start playing worse. And when those two things intersect, you got an opportunity to take the lead. Over these last couple of days, you have seen Seattle slip up. And now, perfect opportunity for you to step in. You win these last two games. At a minimum, you at least split these last two games. And now you're either a half game back of Seattle and you really feel like you got something cooking, or you're 1.5 games back and you continue to be within striking distance and you can make something happen. But for Seattle to leave the door open the last couple of days, you also lose both of those games. Now it's just time and score. You just are running out of time if you want to be able to do this thing. So it's not just the deficit that you need to worry about. You also need to be looking at the clock. So if you're the Royals, yes, you haven't lost any ground. You were still 2.5 games back, and that's where you were when the week started. But we were having that conversation on Sunday. It's now Thursday. You've lost time in the comeback. And what's disappointing about yesterday is we consider Bobby Witt Jr. to be one of those guys, an elite-level player, a future Hall of Fame player, face of an organization. Bobby Witt Jr. is at the center of why they lost yesterday. Yes, they didn't score enough runs. They did this. Yes, absolutely. It's not one man's fault why they lost yesterday. But this is the game in which it was tied. You got an opportunity to get out of the inning. A routine ground ball is hit at your best player, and he commits an error.
And a ground ball toward short in fast Witt. Scoops, and he couldn't get it cleanly, and the run is in.
Then you follow it up in the very next half inning. Bobby Witt Jr. has an opportunity to drive in a run to erase the error. He doesn't drive in the run. You also got Vinny Pasquantino, who a couple weeks ago was as hot as any hitter in baseball. He also doesn't get it, and it kind of felt like right there, well, that's the game. You had your opportunity. You blew the lead. You then committed an error. Your two best offensive players don't step up. They don't get big hits in big spots in a big moment, and you just lost a very disappointing game. The Royals lost these last 2 days. I don't know if the Angels outplayed them as much as it just felt like the Royals just, and kind of what has been the theme of this season, they just make a small mistake here, a small mistake there, and then they just can't overcome it with their offense, and that ends up being the death of them. That's what happened the last couple of nights.
I remember, I don't know when it was. I think it was either early in the season or maybe before the season. We had Vern on, and Vern will join us here in a few minutes anyway. And he talked about, well, the Royals don't get production from, you know, their core, their season's not going to go well at all. And I feel like in September, that core, which was, as I recall Vern saying, Salvi, Reagans, Lugo, Bobby, and Vinny. Vinny has mostly done his job in September. Bobby had the error last night and the bad at-bat, which probably cost them the game. Seth Lugo's now on the IL, and Cole Reagans has been on the IL most of the summer. Like, the fact that the Royals got to this point without their big core group carrying them is admirable, but this is what happens when you rely on a big core group, and they all just don't live up to the hype. You end up 2-3 games short of the playoffs, which is what it's feeling more and more like with the Royals.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think in any comeback, in any loss, you can kind of point to a game or two or an action or two that ends up being the reason why you missed the postseason. This kind of feels like one of those stretches. Seattle gave you an opportunity. They really gave you an opportunity to make up ground. The Royals could be a half game back if they had just taken care of business these last couple of days, and they've lost both of them. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we're going to be joined by Sean Barber. He's going to join us in studio. We are going to go through and give you all of our NFL predictions. We'll do that coming up momentarily with Sean Barber, but let's head to Kauffman Stadium right now to react to the breaking news. Josh Vernier joins us on the show. Vern, how you doing, my man?
I'm all right. Nice to talk to you.
Absolutely, Vern. I was at the game a couple of days ago. I'm sure by now you know really? That I was at the game a couple of days ago. I was actually sitting right in front of Carter Jensen's family. I'm happy for them that they get a chance to see him start today.
Yeah, no doubt. Real cool moments, right? Staying at his parents' house. I don't know what car he took, but how neat is that to grow up in the city, wake up in the bed you woke up in and went to high school baseball practice, and now he's driving to Kauffman Stadium, serving as the designated hitter in the eight spot tonight, facing a veteran in Kyle Hendricks. Makes his big league debut against a future Hall of Famer in Kenley Jansen, and now a touch and feel righty tonight. It's not going to be easy, but yeah, very excited for obviously the family, but the entire city. I would imagine, like we saw all of St. Joe make its way down for Noah Cameron's debut, I would imagine quite a few of friends and family going to be packing this place. And as you saw a few days ago, there'll be plenty of space for the friends and family.
We made a lot of comparisons for Jack Caglione about who he could potentially be. I haven't really heard a lot for Carter Jensen. Do you have one? Is there a player that you kind of think, hey, best case scenario, this is who he could be?
Boy, oh man, that's a good question. You know, it is interesting to see, you know, is he an everyday catcher moving forward? Because he is, you know, a lot like an MJ Melendez, an athlete, a guy that is bat first. So a possibility of moving to the corner outfield. Now, I'm not going to compare him to MJ. He does have some impressive power, but I think he has much better plate discipline than MJ Melendez. You know, it's so tough making these comparisons because the only names that I'm thinking of are, you know, names that easily come top of mind. And to be a name like that, you had to do something for an extended period of time in the big leagues. And to put that on a 22-year-old that I'm frankly surprised to see in the big leagues already. I can't give you a comparison. It's, you know, the upside, we could go on and on about, but I really good eye at the plate, a great makeup, a great work ethic. He's going to make Kansas City proud in that, you know, he's not a guy that you're going to need to question, is he putting in the effort? I mean, shoot, this guy was drafted out of high school 4 years ago and already finds his way to the big league level. So he checks a lot of the boxes, but the question's just going to be, how does he handle real adversity at the big league level? How does he adjust moving forward? I think he has the proper head on his shoulders and got some great guys to learn from in Salvi and Luke Maley. So I have real high expectations. I'll settle on this. I think he can hit in the top five of your lineup on a championship team. That to me is where I could see Carter Jensen. I think he could be a guy that could take over for Vinny Pasquantino, hitting third, hitting right behind Bobby Witt Jr.
Right now, we're talking to Josh Vernier, going through the breaking news that Seth Lugo has now been placed on the injured list. Vern, we've had you on. We've asked, a lot of people have probably asked, hey, what's wrong with Seth Lugo? The Royals have kind of maintained nothing's wrong, but it just hasn't felt right. To me, this feels like confirmation that something's been up this entire time.
No, they'll push back on that. No, they say he didn't feel this back tightness until throwing yesterday. So they wanted to test it today, and it was even worse. So now they're placing him on the IL with a lower back strain. But no, when given the opportunity to link his awful performances of late, an ERA of 9.11 here since the start of August, they're not saying this lower back issue is any way related to the brutal performances we've seen from the 35-year-old of late.
But why would they not take the out when it's right there?
Yeah, I'm guessing because it's not true. You know, they're just going to keep pointing back to Seth Lugo's just not getting the job done. A guy that age hitting the IL with less than 4 weeks to go in the regular season, Q expresses optimism that we hope we can get him back. But I would imagine you got to shut him down at least for 3, 4, 5 days, ramp him back up. That takes you at least 2 weeks. Yeah, we'll see if we see Seth Lugo again.
Right now, we're talking to Josh Vernier here for a couple more minutes. Sean Barber's going to join us in studio, and we're going to give our official NFL predictions. Vern, can you take me through the play in right field with Jack Caglione? Is that a play that a outfielder should make? Was that just a misplay just due to inexperience and him not having a lot of experience when it comes to playing outfield? Can you kind of take me through that play?
That was Yastrzemski. If we're talking about the eighth inning last night and that rocket off of the bat of, Yoan Moncada, that was Mike Yastrzemski, who is an above-average right fielder. I don't think he's quite a gold glover, but he's the best defensive right fielder this team has. And any outfielder I've ever spoken with always says the toughest play is the line drive right at you, and that was 113 miles per hour off of the bat of Yoan Moncada. It's on you quick. You think you have it, and then suddenly it's cruising over your head. So, no, it went down as a double, and I think that's properly called. The misdiagnosis last night was on what you were talking about earlier, Bobby Witt Jr. That should have been an error, but still down as an RBI single to Joe Adell.
Yeah, that's the part, and maybe this is just I'm trying to apply like football and basketball logic, but I mean, people think that Bobby Witt Jr. should have been the American League MVP. People think he's the second best player in the American League. Like, that's a play that you got to make. And then, at a minimum, coming up in the next inning, when you get an opportunity to erase the error, like, you got to come through in that scenario. Yep. Obviously, a lot of things went wrong for the Royals yesterday, the last couple of days, and that's why they lost. But that's a spot where you're kind of looking for your star player to kind of get you out of these situations, and he just didn't yesterday.
No question about it, but I thought he did an outstanding job of owning it after the game, and we can give him credit for that, if you want. But I would expect Bobby, like a lot of great players, after they have that unfortunate performance, they come back, going scorched earth. But if you want to lay that loss at the feet of Bobby Witt Jr., I'd be perfectly fine with that. But again, he has it right here.
You're in that situation, you have lose the game for the team, make a mistake. It's unacceptable for me, unacceptable for that to happen to my teammates and Ursig on the mound. And so it's just not who I am, and I got to be better.
So be bottom line said after the game, he's not running from it. You appreciate that. And the reason why he is, in my opinion, the best player in the American League this season, even with a Cal Raleigh, second to Aaron Judge. I still think Bobby's second to Aaron Judge in the American League. It's because that isn't going to happen again, right? I can't imagine I see that play misplayed by Bobby. Certainly not for the rest of this season, maybe next year, but the reason why he is who he is because I'm expecting him to do what he did on Saturday tonight, and that's go out there and win the game for the Royals. He did that against Detroit, but sure, cost him the game last night.
Vern, how many times a year do you see people get rejected on the kiss cam like I did?
Not very often, I would say half a dozen times out of 81 games, but I gave you credit on the post-game show, and I defended you on Cody and Gold. Maybe I'm misremembering it. Maybe I need to go back and watch the video. You didn't express embarrassment. Like, it wasn't, to me, it wasn't awkward watching it. You weren't desperate. So, honestly, I came away with it with a lot of respect for you. I thought you handled yourself quite well.
Thank you, man. What was the sentiment in the press box? Because just, you don't know what it's like to be in that situation where the stadium's laughing at you.
Yeah, they're all laughing at you and looking at me because they know you're my boy.
Oh, my goodness. Are you telling me I embarrassed you?
No. They were double checked. They're like, that's C-Dot, right? I'm like, yeah, that's him.
You should have said, no, it's not. You should have. That's how you could have had my back.
No, I was like, well, that's probably just a friend. He was just going for a kiss on the cheek anyway. He wasn't all that interested. No, I had your back.
Thank you, man. That's my guy, Josh Vern. You're joining us on the show today. Vern, we appreciate you, my man.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Absolutely. That is Josh Vern. You're joining us on the show today. I looked to my right a little bit earlier. Sean Barber joins us on the show today. Barbershop, are you ready to give your NFL predictions? I can't wait. I'm so excited to hear who you think is going to be good and who you think is going to be bad this year. Can we just go ahead and do this? Can we get all your KPRS Hot 88 shout outs done? Let's just do it right now. I know you got to shout out 19 people. Can you just go ahead and do it in the end of this segment and then we can move on?
First of all, let's start with a disclaimer.
Okay, go ahead.
Now that I am the manager of player engagement for the Kansas City Chiefs.
You now work for the Chiefs.
If you thought I had rose-colored glasses on years ago, for years, if you thought I've like had a unwavering support for the Chiefs, and you don't know why I was always picking them, and you know why did I have them ranked so high every year, you would not believe how rosy red my glasses are now. Like they are unbelievably, they're just red. It's not even rosy no more. I got red-colored lenses in my glasses right now.
Okay. Can you just get your shout outs out the way and then we can go to break? Because I know you're going to do this. I know you got to thank. Oh, I got to thank Barbara from Red Door Grill. She makes a mean cheesesteak. I know that's about to happen. Buddy, so just go ahead. Buddy.
Well, it starts with the MIG. Obviously, the MGI group, man, McGinnis. They do a phenomenal job. Any of your health benefits needs, 401k, anything when it comes to the benefits packages, make sure you holler at Matt McGinnis. Sonny Fouts and Scott Soxie over there with the McGinnis Group. They do a phenomenal job of putting that thing together. And then on a personal level, obviously, like I said, I'm now employed by the Kansas City Chiefs in a player development role. Player development, for those that don't know, we are a four-pillar system when it comes to continuing education, financial literacy, professional development, and also personal development for all the players that are on staff with the Kansas City Chiefs, our active roster, our practice squad, the injured reserve. I mean, once a chief, always a chief. And we coordinate with all different departments, community outreach, the legends, marketing, business development, all of those different areas in the Chiefs come through myself and Dr. Melissa Weintz to make sure that we handle that in a professional manner. So, you know, I will not be saying anything negatively against my organization. So
I noticed you said the legends. That means they're moving?
As in alumni, our legends. Shout out to my man Jeremy, who runs the legends organization. Him and Chuck and their team over
there.
I'm
just saying,
you said
honoring the legends, so I'm just trying to make sure you
Chiefs
aren't breaking
legends.
News.
Chiefs legends.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I was confused.
Do you not see this? What kind of shirt do I have on today?
Kansas City ambassador.
Okay,
you're a great
man.
Ambassador.
I'm a legend.
I don't even feel good. I can't even get Chiefs jokes off anymore. Now you work for them.
A legend. Okay.
I don't want to get you in trouble at work.
One snap. That's all you take. One snap on that field, that hallowed ground. G-E-H-A
You're a Chiefs
field.
Ambassador for life.
You're not an ambassador yet, but you are a legend.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Many men can say they're a
you
legend.
Are you done with all your shout outs? Because I want to start getting to, we got Thursday night football today. We got to make our playoff predictions. I just want to make sure that we have shouted out everybody that needs to be shouted out.
I mean, obviously, you just left baseball and nobody gave my son, Noah Barber. He's in the minor leagues.
My
shout
bad.
Out to him.
Absolutely.
He actually got selected to go to Australia. He's being Brisbane. He's going to Australia for the fall league. So that's going to start in a few weeks. Obviously, the largest in charge, my man Nico Barber, still is working with the equipment staff with Kansas City. They're in Brazil. So safe travels.
We're going beyond. I gave you too many shout outs now.
And obviously, you know, the Queen Bee.
Okay, yeah, no, shout out to her too.
Miss Nicole.
Beauty shop. That's what I call her. That's who she is. She's beauty shop.
Barbershop and beauty shop. I like that.
Coming up on the other side, Barber has all of his notes. We're going to give you our official NFL predictions for the season. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Three-time Super Bowl champion, Patrick Mahomes. Join CDOT every Tuesday at 3:15, exclusively on 96.5 The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
All right, so much to get into. Why don't we do this, Sean Barber? We will get our official predictions coming up at the top of the hour. I have all 14 teams. I'll give you my MVP prediction, all of those things. Let's look to Cowboys and Eagles coming up tonight. I actually haven't got a chance to ask you, what do you make of the trade? What do you make of the trade for Micah Parsons for him to go to play for the Green Bay Packers? I do not know your take on this. I've not seen it. I've not heard it. I've not read it. What do you make of the trade?
Well, first of all, let's talk historically. You've been around. I think I've been on and off the air for about 8 years, right? 2017, 18, whatever it was, started doing the night show with Dane and Hughes, right? Players only. A little bit of like in the trenches. Pete Sweeney, right? We was doing some Arrowhead Pride stuff. I don't even know if you can even mention those names anymore.
We love Pete on the show.
Oh, okay. He's a friend of the show?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. The funny thing about that is when I left to do something with BJ Kissel, all of a sudden I became like non-friends of the show because somehow I was anti-Odyssey because I did my own podcast.
That was in the past. We moved on.
Have you? Because I'm still a little bitter about it. You know what I'm saying? So I hold grudges a little bit.
I don't got any beef with BJ Kissel either. Shout out to both of them.
Oh my goodness. This, you know what? And I could probably talk if Rob was at his desk, which he isn't. If Rob was there, I would love for somebody to understand and take me through.
Can we hear about Micah Parsons? What's happening here? I want to find out about Micah Parsons.
It's a win-win. The Cowboys, you know, in any deal where you can trade off a player that's demanding a salary that is beyond what you're willing to do, if you're not in a position as a team to offer a guy his worth, right, $45 million a year, whatever he ended up.
Him getting 47.
47 a year. Obviously, Cowboys were not in that. That wasn't in their price range. They were shopping, and they wanted to get an asset, and they wasn't willing to give him what his market value was. He had enough leverage to basically, him and his agent put the team on notice. I will not play this year without a new contract. So at that point, you must trade him. So I have no, listen, you got two first rounders. Kenny Clark, to me, is a excellent above average starting defensive tackle. So I think the Cowboys, if you talk about the Cowboys looking at 2026, 27, I think they put themselves maybe as one of the favorites going into those seasons based off of just this one deal. Because the thing I always say about any one player you pay, you have to be able to even visualize yourself as a team without that player. There can always be an injury that takes that player off the field. So if you're telling me that this one piece is the difference between you being a Super Bowl champion or not, then that's one thing. Obviously, the Cowboys had him for the last few years, and they barely became a playoff team. They didn't sniff no NFC championship games with them. So maybe these two first-round picks, Kenny Clark, the extra room on the salary cap to go sign some of their current stars, maybe the end result of the trade is going to be both the Cowboys are a better team, and I do think for this one season, you got to go ahead. And I don't know what your picks look like, but when we talk about the NFC, you'll see that the Packers definitely have made some moves in my rankings when it comes to the playoffs.
This was my take. You can sell me on why you would trade Micah Parsons, even though I think Micah Parsons has a chance of being a Hall of Fame player. Like, he is an elite pass rusher. He's 26 years old. If you're going to do that to me, you can't trade him to a team that you are chasing. Like, trade him to the Titans. You know what I mean? Like, trade him to a team in the AFC that you think you could get a top 10 pick potentially out of. I think the Packers could win the Super Bowl this year. So I'm not trading him to a team that it could be a low first round pick. That's number one. And if you're going to make that decision, you just got to make that decision earlier. The Cowboys have had plenty of chances to sign Micah Parsons. You had a chance to sign him after year three. You didn't do it. You had a chance to do it early in free agency. You didn't do it. Like, you let Micah Parsons sign, then you let TJ Watt sign. Well, then, of course, you know what agents are going to do. Hey, look at what that guy makes. I now want 10, 15% more. The Cowboys just had a lot of opportunities. If they were going to move on from Micah Parsons, you could have done that and got more. I also just think, I think they got the baseline of what you get. I'm not getting on the phone to you to trade my 26-year-old potential Hall of Fame pass rushers for anything less than two first-round picks. Like, if you're going to make this trade, I got to feel like you fleeced the Packers. I don't feel like they fleeced the Packers. I feel like they got close to what market value is for Micah Parsons, which is okay if you get that in March. You got that a week before the start of the season. I don't love the trade from the Cowboys' perspective.
The fact that Micah Parsons was sitting out, I think the defensive coordinator for the team has probably already found out some ways to move on from him. The packages, they had to create some packages without him being there. So it's not like he was practicing with the team and all of a sudden he put his hands up and said, hey, that's it for me. You got to find a way to move on without me. I think defensively, most organizations run in a – man, listen, injuries happen. You can't have defenses schemes that rely on one person. That's just not how defense is done. It's one of 11. You got to have 11 guys out there, and the backups got to be ready to go at all times. So I think that moving on from a defensive player is going to be a lot easier. We talk back, if we want to reflect back at the Chiefs when they decided to move on from Tyreek Hill. I could see his the percentage of offensive schemes and packages that were designed just to take his skill set. And really formulate offensive plays around what he does. I would say that was a great percentage of the Chiefs' offense, but the Chiefs were able to go ahead and pivot and move on and then focus the offense around Kelce at that point and obviously still go win some Super Bowls and have some championship years. So I think it's a win-win. Obviously, if you talk about the perfect scenario for the Cowboys to maximize, yes, they could have done things differently to get more out of it. And then if you talk about from the Packers standpoint, obviously you would have loved to do this deal and let him be there for the entire training camp to learn the defensive package so you don't feel like he's kind of starting behind the eight ball. But when it comes to being a pass rusher, man, wide nine, get after the quarterback, do what you've been doing your entire career. It doesn't take much learning of a defensive package to play defensive end.
What do you think happened with Amari Cooper? You think Amari Cooper got there and saw the Raiders and was like, I don't want to play for this team? Or do you think Amari Cooper just woke up one day and like felt his knees and was like, you know what, I can't play football anymore? What do you think happened with Amari Cooper?
Oh, man.
So I've never seen a guy sign and then retire in 10 days.
I mean, that's the nature of the beast. I would say a father time is
undefeated.
It comes a time in every athlete's career where, yes, you look at yourself in the mirror and you tell yourself, I am indestructible. Like I'm him. I'm the alpha. I'm the omega. Like everything got to come through me, and I'm willing to do anything to go out there and dominate on the field. Well,
that's gone. You're saying with Amari Cooper.
I mean, he's probably said it enough times in the mirror where the mirror started looking back at him.
it wasn't responding well.
The image he was seeing in the mirror was not that same. It didn't have that resolve. It didn't have that perseverance. It didn't have that determination.
No, that makes sense. And the analogy that I always make to playing football is it's got to be like we agree that we're committing a bank robbery. If all four of us are committed to doing this, we might have a chance. If one of you is hesitant about robbing this bank, we don't need to be doing it because you are going to get all of us going to jail. So that's why I give Amari Cooper a lot of credit. I don't want to play football with anybody that's heart ain't in there, because if your heart ain't in it to play football, and something can go terribly, tragically wrong. So, again, I got respect for Amari Cooper. Just, hey, right before the start of the season, I can't do this. I'm out. I got to retire. Coming up on the other side, I love this is my favorite segments of the year. We are going to go through and give all of our playoff picks for the year. I'll also tell you who I think is going to win NFL MVP. We got Barbershop in studio. Keep it right here. So drive.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.